Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Wednesday regular, of course, is Phil Vitale, the restaurant critic for the Chicago Tribune, and he's got his critic pants back on. Phil, welcome to the WGN Radio.
Thanks, Steve. I should say my critic stretch pants, right?
So you're back in the game. The first review you've done, right, in what, 6 months?
Six months. And I'm not back in the game. I did this one, and it's probably going to be a while before I do another one.
Well, I was interested in reading your review. Frankly, I was more about reading of your preparations for the review than the actual food part of it. Because
right.
We've talked about this during the segment a lot. You're being very careful, which is certainly understandable. And you've been leery of going inside, but you wrestled with yourself because you made a reservation here. And even the night before, you were thinking maybe you weren't going to do it, but you decided to go through with it.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, this was the birth of this restaurant is a story that I've been covering since the fall of grace, literally and figuratively, a couple of years ago, and while in 2017 actually, and I've been following their preparation, all the steps they took to get ready to open ever, and I got to see the place before they pre-construction or mid-construction, and I just felt that, among other things, I was just kind of committed to seeing this story through after having written about all the interim steps right up to that.
Well, you said fall of grace, not fall from grace. Grace was the restaurant these two partnered in, and what, they had a dispute with their investors, and there was a very public breakup. Is that what happened?
That's exactly what happened. They had one main investor, and the marriage failed,
and in a public way. And so here you were deciding whether or not to go in and sit down. You did. Were you comfortable when you left?
I was. It was. They were doing everything as correctly as one could expect it to. I mean, it just, you're met at the door with people, with the hosts are wearing masks. There's no welcome handshake, as sometimes there is in restaurants. And we were taken to an area that as it was planned, you go down this long hall, and you're generally going to make a sharp right-hand turn. But right at the turn, there are these hanging foodstuffs in sort of a combination mobile and diorama.
Uh-huh.
And the original concept was you can pick a piece of food off and taste it, and these are going to be ingredients you're going to be tasting later in the course of the menu, so you get to try individual tastes. And that was the original plan, but then they thought, and the last thing they wanted to have is a shared food station for guests. So maybe someday they'll be able to realize that concept, but right now, no. So these are dried herbs and things that are still among the flavors you'll be getting, but you're not going to taste them there.
I don't know if we mentioned the name of the restaurant is Ever. And the other part of the story is it's $285 10-course tasting menu.
It is very expensive, as was Grace back in its time. The price is kind of in line with the other 4-star restaurants that have been in Chicago. You will spend a little more at Alinea, probably maybe a little less at Smith or Oriole when they reopen. But we'll see.
Now, if you're paying that much, do they wear different kinds of like nicer plastic gloves and nicer masks?
They're not wearing plastic gloves, but the masks are. I mean, they're all in these dark Armani-looking suits. I don't have the eye to tell you, like from the corner, with that's an Armani. But
that's
I can
funny
tell
because you're an athlete when it comes to food, but not fashion so much.
No, not so much. Anyone who's known me or seen me probably would agree with that. But I will say that there are suits I can't afford. They're walking around with, and then these very dark masks. That go over the year, very like matte black, and matte black is kind of a recurring motif throughout the restaurant anyway.
Did they serve you? Were they barehanded?
Yes, I believe so.
So, tell me this. I don't know if we've talked about this. I think I mentioned it to Dr. Most once from Northwestern Medicine, but I was surprised to learn, and it's my understanding, that if you work in a kitchen and you're, you know, socially distanced from your coworkers in the kitchen, it's not required that you wear a mask because the food does not transmit the virus. Is that your understanding too?
I don't know if that is settled science. I do know that the original belief that that touching surfaces exposed you to greater risk, they no longer believe that. That hasn't been borne out from what they've observed. I don't think anybody can say absolutely that it's a bad idea
right.
to disinfect surfaces, and I'm sure they're doing everything they can back there. But yeah, working in close quarters is probably a much higher risk than worrying about surfaces. My solution would be to worry about everything.
Yeah, I understand that. So is it worth my $285?
Well, it's your $285. That's a question you
right,
can answer.
Right.
It's probably worth noting that it wasn't actually my $285, was it?
No.
It was the Tribune's $285. And as long as we're scaring the daylights out of people with price ranges, I should point out that the $285 does not include a tax and service charge and beverage. So you'll wind up spending actually considerably more.
But you wrote that you don't typically give out a rating after just one sitting, but you did this time. Why is that?
Well, number one, I don't know. Given how long it takes to get into the place, I don't know when I would be able to find time to get back in there a second time. It would be the exact same menu. Usually, I take more than one visit, preferably three or four, because the menu will evolve in that time, and I'll have a better chance to see what different dishes, how they change it, and how they handle seasonality and that sort of thing. And here, I think they're going to land on this, except for a few dishes, a few ingredients going out of season, that this is going to be one shot. And there is some precedent for me doing a one-shot thing. When I reviewed the various menus at Next, they've all been one-shot reviews because each of their menus is of such short duration that by the time I could get two visits and a review out, the menu will have changed.
You also wrote earlier this week about some restaurants sort of giving tours. I think it was Lowry's.
Lowry's the prime rib.
Explain
right.
that for me.
Well, it's, you know, the restaurants are doing various things to try to attract people, and for the first time, they are giving tours. Now, I think some people know, but not everybody knows, that Lowry's occupies what was once the McCormick Mansion, and it's been around for more than 125 years, and it's got upstairs areas and secret rooms that no member of the public has ever seen before.
Wow.
And there are hints that there might be some spooky legends about this room or that room, and I really don't know. But there was a long time ago, going back to the 40s, there was something called the Kungsholm Puppet Theater, and that was where that entertainment resided. And they still have some of the sets and puppets from those times, and you can go and see those. So it's a nice little historic tour. You see this, you pass by it on Ontario Street all the time and don't realize, my goodness, this has been here forever.
That's Phil Vitale, the restaurant critic for the Chicago Tribune. Do you have a question for him, a comment, or maybe a suggestion? This would be a good time to give us a call. Phil, you're always looking for a good place to eat.
Absolutely.
What was the thing? Oh, so the city announced yesterday that they've got 600 applications for this $5,000 prize to help extend the outdoor life of the restaurant season. Do you have any idea what any of those 600 are?
No, I haven't seen them yet. We had a story, but haven't had a chance to go through it. I imagine there's going to be a lot of them involving temporary shelters, or whether we could put some kind of temporary covering over an entire street line, you know, or a portion of the street.
Right.
Because not only do we need to keep the elements at least at arm's length, but we also have to maintain the distancing, and as the current science holds, circulating air is a huge factor.
Right, you can't make it too tenty, because if you make it too tenty, it's like you're eating inside.
Exactly, you're creating indoor.
Right.
And indoor spaces,
right.
We already have indoor space.
Right.
What we know, what we need is, and then you could make the case, I won't now, but you could make the case that investing more heavily into air purification systems, including ultraviolet ray treatment and that sort of thing, might be a better use of funds than pitching a tent.
Right. 312-981-7200 is the telephone number. I'm also interested in knowing if, when it does get colder, you'll go inside to eat. It doesn't sound like Phil will. I think I probably will. I don't know. I haven't made my mind yet altogether, but it, you know, I do know that we're going to be faced with this, those of us who have gotten used to going out on weekends again. Mike is on a phone line. Mike, welcome to WGN Radio.
Yeah, that was kind of along my line. I was going to ask Phil, is, Phil, you seem a bit skittish, which is totally understandable about being inside a restaurant. Will you eat outside a restaurant on a sidewalk?
Yeah, I will do that. I will do that. I mean, it depends on the outside and what else is going on. But as long as my fellow diners are masked, except for the moments they're at the they're at their tables, I think I'm going to be okay with that. I did that at Robert's Pizza a couple of weeks ago. Technically, I was inside, but I don't count it because he has those wide open windows, and I was right next to the window, or where the window would be if it weren't wide open. And so it was very, very open air, and I sat at the table there and had some pizza, and it didn't bother me. I wasn't bothered in the slightest.
All right, thanks for the call, Mike. I appreciate it. You know, I ate at Rock's in Boys Town for the first time last weekend. Are you familiar with it?
I've not been, no.
Okay, it's a local pub food sort of place, but it was a nice feel. But it's the first time I used Tock. I had to use Tock in order to get a reservation.
Hmm. I like Tock. I've used it a few times. I've used it for carryout food. One of the clever things about Tock in terms of getting to go food is that for the some of the restaurants, you sign up for a pickup time, much in the way you would sign up for a table.
Okay.
And by spreading that out, it keeps restaurants away from that. Yeah, we're doing carryout, but I've got 135 orders between 7:45 and 8:30. This way you can space it out a little better, and the restaurants doing that typically package up their meals in such a way that some finish work needs to be done when you get it home. Have to reheat this, you have to keep this, and maybe even assemble that. It works really good for salads when lettuce will hold for quite a while, but dressed lettuce will not.
Right. I should point out that Tock is it came from the guys at Alinea, right?
It did, yes.
Yeah, and so you actually pay, or you put down a deposit on your reservation to keep you from making reservations at six different spots and blowing off the other five. And the funny thing was, we'd never used it before, and I'm driving home, and I'm like, oh, my God, I didn't check to see if I got my $30 back. I did, and we called the restaurant because I did Apple Pay and didn't have a receipt. But, yeah, it worked out pretty well. Okay, Jill is going to scold me, I think, on line one. Jill, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, I'm wondering if Phil is ever going to give his review of Ever. You guys got off topic.
Well, that was my fault, but I suggest you go buy a Chicago Tribune.
I know. I do have the Tribune. Yeah. I mean, you guys said, is it worth the money? And Phil said, well, it wasn't my money, and then you never got back to it.
Tell us a little bit about what's offered at Ever, Phil.
All right, it's a ten course tasting menu. Although Curtis Duffy, the chef, being who he is, there's always a few extra surprises in there. The service is first rate. The wine matches are really fun if you're into wine, because they skirt all the usual suspects and come up with some really cool wines from really cool places that you might not have thought of. There's a fair amount of Spanish wines in there, and there's some other far-flung picks they've made. Curtis is one of the top chefs in the country, one of Chicago's treasures. He's gotten Michelin stars and four stars locally for almost every restaurant he's been at in Chicago, going back to Avenues in the Peninsula Hotel. He's an absolute artist, and if you have the paper, that we have a picture of this thing he did with watermelon brioche and arugula, and it's kind of a play and a caprese salad, and it's just so artistic and so spectacular. You almost feel bad taking that first bite. You say, I'm going to ruin the picture, but you do.
Phone number is 312-981-7200 if you have a question for Phil Vitale. Or I want to know, too, if you are ready to go back inside and eat once it gets colder, if you're going to do it. Obviously, they're taking precautions, and I feel pretty confident about it. I'm not too worried about it. I think I'll continue to do it. I noticed, is it Wells Street that is now kind of permanently shut down for restaurant space north of the river?
There's a little stretch of it, yeah, that they've opened up the sidewalk. I wouldn't say permanent, but
well, no, but
they've opened it up, and I think the city will continue to do that. That seems to have worked out very well for restaurants. To your earlier point, is will you feel comfortable dining inside when it's cold? I'd really like to know how cold will it be before you're absolutely unwilling to dine outside.
Yeah, right.
Stretching the outdoor season is really what's got me. I mean, every restaurateur is down on his or her knee praying for a super mild October.
Yeah, and I think people will be willing to eat outside. They'll, you know, maybe bring a lap blanket or things like that. The Wells thing I noticed, because every Friday they had shut it down, I think, for the weekend, and it seems like within the past 2 weeks now it's been 7 days a week. So how many areas are there like that around the city?
They did an interesting thing in Randolph. If you remember that configuration, you have one lane going westbound, one lane coming into the city eastbound, and then on either side of dividers, there are interior lanes,
right,
where there's parking and you can get easy access to side streets. Those are being closed. Those have been closed, and so you're either driving up or down Randolph Street, but you're not going into those little side areas. Those are areas that have been closed off, and they've expanded seating for restaurants.
You know, we've greatly expanded outdoor dining in Chicago, which is great, but I think a lot of us lose track of the fact that outdoor dining was almost non-existent in this city, what, like 10 years ago?
Right. I can't remember the exact date it started, but yeah, there was no provision for sidewalk cafes and patio dining and things like that. No, that was, they had to come up with regulations. Chicago was a little slow on that compared to other cities.
It seems crazy, really, doesn't it, that there weren't outdoor dining opportunities just 10 years ago or so. And you've kind of written about that, how we were slow with food trucks as well.
Right. We're still pretty less than welcoming of food trucks even today.
All right, real quick, let's say hello to Frank. Frank, welcome to WGN.
Yeah, I'm not afraid of eating in restaurants. I think the question is, if not now, when do you ever go back? And then what are we doing to the financial viability of restaurants? We're just going to kill them going out and put them out of business if we don't patronize them.
So how would you consider your general sense of caution when it comes to COVID-19?
I am not scared of it. I think it's just part of life here right now, and following some of the directions that have come out of the CDC is confusing. So you just have to go with what your gut tells you. My gut is that if you're reasonably careful, you'll be okay.
Well, okay, that's a gutsy thing to do, to rely on your gut. I'm not sure I would feel comfortable doing that, but I appreciate it, Frank, and so do the restaurateurs. Now go out and eat, will you? Thanks for calling, Frank. Phil,
okay.
I don't know, Phil. Are you going to trust your gut? That's maybe not the right way to do it.
Well, it's called a novel coronavirus for a reason. We've never seen anything like it before, and we're learning about it. And as a result of learning about it, what we know now is not what we knew in March.
Right. We just talked about the kitchen workers, right, and covering their hands and things.
Mm-hmm. And the discrepancy between those two sets of information is not only is to be expected, it's to be welcomed. It means that we're keep studying it and we're learning more. So, yeah, the fact that we don't think that surface transmission is a big deal anymore doesn't mean they were stupid in April. It just means that as we've had more time to deal with this, we've had more time to graph what's happening to people and when it's happening, we're learning more.
Phil Vitale, great to talk to you today. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.